These are known as pre-dynastic kingdoms, kingdoms which predated the beginnings of dynastic Egypt, the great dynasties of the pharaohs after 3100 BC. And these pre-dynastic kingdoms were the main players in the unification of Egypt, the competition between them. The best known of them flourished in Upper Egypt: Nagada, Nekhen, and This. The latter kingdom was near the settlement of Abydos, which, with its narrow valley, was the traditional Egyptian gateway to the underworld. There's always been this very close relationship between the Egyptians and the other world, and the continuity of the world epitomized by the sun rising and setting every day in a cloudless sky. Each of these kingdoms was centered on a growing town of rectangular mud-brick buildings set in the midst of intensely cultivated riverside fields watered by the Nile's annual inundation. Why was agriculture so successful in the Nile? Because every summer the rains from Ethiopia and Central Africa brought a flood down the Nile, which inundated flat floodplain on either side of the river, only a few meters, not a great deal, dropped silt on the land, and then retreated gradually, renewing, as it were, the fertility of the soil every season. Now, common myth has it that this flood continued year after year, that the Nile was endlessly bountiful, that there was always plenty to eat. In fact, the Nile was a capricious river, and these floods varied greatly from year to year. So the pharaohs put a great deal of energy into measuring and predicting the height of the flood using nilometers by the side of the Nile. And years of experience allowed the priests to predict fairly accurately how good the flood will be. And the difference between a good flood and a bad flood was only a few meters. A good flood could be too much and would carry everything on the floodplain before it. A bad flood brought no rain to the fields. But it's interesting to go back to the pre-dynastic. Places like Nekhen, downstream of modern-day Luxor, which achieved a dominance in Upper Egypt after 3400 BC, relied on agriculture which depended entirely on the flooding of the fields by the river. There were no great irrigation schemes. Irrigation schemes came in much later, during the Middle and New Kingdoms, when the pharaohs paid a great deal of attention to adequate food supplies. So the agriculture was very simple. It was driven by the Nile flood. Now, Nekhen's prosperity came from trading its well-known plum-red-coloured pottery, which was fired near the town. But it was another thing, too. It was also an important religious center for an ancient falcon god, the god Horus. Now, it's a great mistake to think that these ancient Egyptian kingdoms traded only among themselves. They didn't. They also traded with other polities which competed with them in the delta, far downstream. How could they do this? Because the Nile is wonderfully set up for navigation. The prevailing winds blow from the north, so you can sail in front of the wind up the river. And when sailing ships came into use very early in Egyptian times, they provided a way of fighting the current. Downstream, although you were against the wind, you went down with the current. So you had excellent communications between settlements and kingdoms at considerable distances. And it's very interesting also to note that at this very early time, there were already connections with distant Mesopotamia, identified by such things as cuneiform tablets and other distinctive artifacts. As time went on, trade along the river and to other lands became so complex that writing and record-keeping came into being, not here in the form of wedge-shaped cuneiform script, but in the form of hieroglyphs, the Greek word for sacred writing. At first, scholars thought that these were picture symbols, but in fact, the script is phonetic.